We're in a series we're calling Dusty Books right now, and we're looking at some of those books in the Bible that we don't often read. And so we're looking at some Old Testament books, all from the minor prophets over these few weeks. And we said last week that minor prophets aren't less important. They simply wrote shorter books. And so we're looking at three of those minor prophets that people don't often get around to reading. And today we're going to talk about Micah. If you brought your Bibles, Micah is the seventh from the end of the Old Testament. It's between Jonah and Nahum. And so let's open up our Bible and we can look right here beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Micah of Moresheth during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, the visions he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem." Now we said last week, y'all remember this? We said last week, what do we do with most of those verses like that? We ignore them and keep on reading. But we said they're really important because that tells us where in the story we are. And we need to know where we are in the story because God is always speaking to a particular group of people in a particular place in a particular time. And we need to understand what was going on in that moment so we can understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us in our moment. But we want to first understand what was happening when this word was spoken. And so if I put back up my chart from last week that I shared with you guys, we kind of oriented ourselves in some of the biblical history, and we said 960 BC was when Solomon built the first temple. But after Solomon dies, his children begin to fight, and Israel is divided into two different kingdoms, a northern kingdom whose capital is Samaria, and a southern kingdom whose capital is Jerusalem. And we said last week and showed you on the chart, in 722 BC, the northern kingdom is destroyed by the Assyrians, never to be heard from again. And in 586 BC, the southern kingdom is destroyed by the Babylonians. Now, I gave you the history last week. What I didn't tell you is why the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were destroyed. And the reason that the Assyrians conquered and the Babylonians conquered the Israelites was because the Israelites refused to listen to God. They refused to turn around and repent. They refused to be the people that God had called them to be. And though God told them over and over again and sent word after word after word to them, they refused to listen. So eventually God said, if you're going to keep adding death, dysfunction, disorder, my good creation, I'm going to do away with you. But because that's not what God wants, and God cares for the world he created, and they were adding harm to it. And so he brought destruction upon those kingdoms. I also didn't tell you last week, man, they were warned again and again, over and over and over. They were told what was going to happen if they persisted in their ways. Micah was one of those prophets who spoke a word of warning to the people. And chapter 1, verse 1 tells you that he was a prophet from about 740 BC to 700 BC. So he was someone who warned the northern kingdom. Guys, if you don't straighten up, destruction's coming. And he actually saw that happen. And then he turned around to the southern kingdom and he said, hey, you guys, y'all see what happened? You ought to learn from that. And so what we have in the book of Micah is from 700 to 7 BC, we have a few of the messages that Micah spoke to the people during this time, encouraging them, guys, turn around, turn around. And so let's look at a few of those words. Chapter 2, verse 1. "Woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light they carry it out because it is in their power to do it. They covet fields and seize them and houses and take them. They defraud people of their homes. They rob them of their inheritance." Micah says, woe to them. Now remember, he's not talking to the pagans. He's talking to the Israelites, God's people. Woe to them. Man, bad stuff's about to happen to people who use their power to do whatever they want to do. They see something and they take it because they can. And he says, this isn't going to end up good for you. Woe to you guys. Here it is. This is God's people, the people that God called to represent him. And it was through Israel that God was seeking to restore and renew his creation. God was going to work through them to bring blessing and life to all of the world. And so God blessed them. God gave them grace. God favored them. God dwelt among them. God gave them his instructions. God spoke to them so that they could bring blessing and life. But what's happened? Rather than seeing the favor of God and the blessing of God and the presence of God as the means by which they could carry out the calling of God, they saw God's favor and blessing as a get out of jail free card. They just began to do whatever they wanted because God was going to protect them and God was going to take care of them. And so they could do whatever they wanted. So God had Micah deliver this word to them, beginning in verse 3. Therefore, the Lord says, I am planning disaster against this people from which you cannot save yourselves. You will no longer walk proudly, for it will be a time of calamity. In that day, people will ridicule you. They will taunt you with this mournful song. We are utterly ruined. My people's possession is divided up. He takes it from me. He assigns our fields to traitors. Therefore, you will have no one in the assembly of the Lord to divide the land by lot. Micah says, because you've rejected the calling of God and you have continued to do harm rather than bring life. You've used the power and the blessing and the goodness of God simply for your own selfish means rather than responding to God's calling. God was going to bring destruction, not because he wanted to, because we know the character of God, don't we? I mean, God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. What does God want to do? Man, God wants to bless. Man, God wants to pour favor. Man, God wants to give grace. God wants to give protection. This is what God wants to do. But if you persist, man, if you keep on doing it, and if you ignore God's word time after time after time after time after time, and you do not listen, and you do not turn around, and you keep doing things which destroy his creation because God loves the world and because his desire is for its renewal and its recreation. God will, when you push his hand, God will deal with those forces that are wreaking destruction and death upon his world. Now, how do you think the people heard that message? Well, we find out how next in verse 6. Do not prophesy, their prophets say. Do not prophesy about these things. Disgrace will not overtake us. You descendants of Jacob, should it be said, does the Lord become impatient? Does he do such things? What is the people's, the prophets of the people, the prophets the people liked, the prophets they wanted to listen to, how did they respond to Micah? Come on, Micah, be quiet. Don't say such things, Micah. Guys, don't listen to him. Everything's fine. I mean, after all, you're the Israelites. You're God's people. You're the descendants of Jacob. It's all good. It's all good. Everything's fine. Don't worry about those Assyrians that you hear about that are bringing destruction amongst all those people. God would God allow that to happen to you guys? No, not at all. You just carry on. Don't worry. Everything's great. The people listened to those prophets and they wouldn't listen to Micah. And so Micah's response to these false prophets is this. Do not my words do good to the one whose ways are upright? Lately, my people have risen up like an enemy. You strip off the rich robe from those who pass by without a care, like men returning from battle. You drive the women of my people from their pleasant homes. You take away my blessing from their children forever. Get up, go away, for this is not your resting place because it is defiled. It is ruined beyond all remedy. If a liar and deceiver comes and says, I will prophesy for you plenty of wine and beer, that would be just the prophet for this people. Isn't that a great word? Micah says, you know what you guys want? You guys want a prophet that says, let the beer and the wine and the good times roll. Yeah, you guys have nothing to worry about. Just keep on going. Everything's fine. The message that the people wanted to hear was the same message that you hear in every pop song that's written today. You're perfect in every way. And nothing about you needs to change. It's all going to be okay. Do you see what the people's problem was? And Micah really points it out right there. The guy that y'all want simply says what you want to hear. You hear what the people's problem is? Their biggest problem? I'll tell you, their biggest problem wasn't their greed. That was a problem. That wasn't their biggest problem. Their biggest problem was not sexual immorality. That was a problem. Their biggest problem was not their immorality in general and their drunkenness. That was a problem. Their biggest problem wasn't the abuse of the poor. Do you know what their biggest problem was? See, all those things I just listed, they could have been forgiven. They could have been cleansed. They could have been healed. Man, they could have had a fresh start. Those things God would have dealt with. That wasn't the problem. What was their biggest problem? They wouldn't listen. Man, they refused to listen to anything that they did not want to hear. Their destruction didn't happen willy-nilly. God didn't get up one day and have a bad day, get in a bad mood, go, I'm done with these people, it's over. No, he told them again and again. Then he told them again. And then he told them again. And then he told them again. And then he sent another word and another word and another word. And God said, come on, people. I mean, here's what I want for you. But when it came to the place that they simply would not hear the voice of God, and they refused to hear anything but what they wanted to hear, in that time, God had to deal with them in a different way. The people wanted reassurance without surrender. They wanted comfort without any kind of correction. They wanted to belong to the people of God without being transformed as the people of God. They wanted peace without any kind of obedience. And they naturally drifted toward the messages that would keep them from repentance. They naturally drifted away from any message that would have caused them to turn around and to move in a different direction from the direction that they were already going. They did not want to hear anything they did not want to hear. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine that? I hope most of you are going, yeah, I know somebody just like that. Don't you know somebody like that? I know some folks like that. Man, and if you've ever been in a relationship, you ever worked, you know some folks who you really don't want to speak truth to them because they really don't want to hear it. And sometimes it comes to a place where they can't hear it any longer because it's just filtering out everything that they don't want to hear. We know people like that. But what's the other side of that? I hope we're also going, I'm like that. I can be like that. Where I just want to hear the things I want to hear. And sometimes it's really hard for me to hear the things I don't want to hear. I got to this point in the message this week, and I started making some notes, and I was like, man, I already said this, I feel like I'm repeating. And some of y'all, I hope somebody here is going, I think Jeff just preached about this. Please, somebody, no. Because I got to this point in the message, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I brought this very same message several times before this year. This year! Man, I've talked about how the social media algorithm is giving you what you want to see and what you want to hear. I've talked about how the political divide exists because we only listen to news stations that tell us the things we want to hear. How the culture divide is growing and growing because we carefully cultivate the news that we hear and the songs that we sing. And we've talked about it. Just a few short weeks ago, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, which was this exact same message, basically, and read this word, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. It's going to come a day when people are going to, and we have the ability to do this better than ever before in history, when we just gather around the people around us so we only hear the things that we want to hear. And I hope somebody's saying, hey, Jeff, yeah, you have. Because I got to this point, I was like, I've talked about this several times. This year, this has come up. And we've learned that when you're reading the Bible and something is repeated, what are you supposed to do? Pay attention. Pay attention. That's right. And when it gets repeated, you're supposed to lean into it and go, God's got my face in his hands. He's saying, really? Listen to me. God does that in life too. Man, and you guys tell me about it all the time. You'll tell me after the sermon, hey, Jeff, what you preached about was just the same thing I read in my devotional this week. And it's the same thing they were going over in Richard and Tracy's class. And I read the same thing. Man, this same message has hit me several different ways this past week. And you know what I want to say to people at that moment? Pay attention. God's speaking to you. God's taking your face in his hands. Because he's gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He does not want harm to come to you. What he wants to do is bless you, and so he's trying to speak to you, and so pay attention. And so I got to this point in the sermon, and I was like, man, I've preached this same sermon 3 or 4 times this year. I was like, okay, God, I'm listening. I'm listening. And maybe some of the rest of us need to listen. Because, like, I've heard this before. And God goes, yeah, it's really hard to get my people to hear what they don't want to hear. And I think God's got our face in his hands, at least some of us, because that seems to me obvious what he's doing. And he's saying, listen, because Micah said something really beautiful in the beginning of his response to those false prophets. He said at the end of verse 7, he said, do not my words do good to the one whose ways are upright? He says, do not my words do good? Now, it would be easy to read that verse and to imagine that the word upright means without sin. And then you could read it and say, don't God's words do good to the person who's doing everything right? But that's not what upright means. Upright doesn't mean sinless perfection. Upright means to the person who trusts God, who listens to God, and who is teachable. Don't the words of God do good to the one who would listen and hear him? Man, God's word is for us. God's word is to bring life for us. God is saving us from death, dysfunction, and disorder. And when we cling to our sin, when we want to do things our way, when we close our mind, when we put on autopilot, when we have things that we're not going to listen to God for anymore, God's word seems hostile and threatening. But to the one who trusts him, Micah says, from the Lord, don't my words do good? Man, his word is good. His word is good. And though it might seem threatening because it confronts some of our brokenness and would require us to admit that something is off kilter and to turn, don't his words do good for those who would listen? And we come to the table this morning being reminded of how much he loves us, that he didn't spare his own life for us. And he invites us to the table this morning to take the bread and to dip in the juice to remember his body broken for us and his blood that was shed for us. He invites us to put it in there and to eat it and going, God, don't you love me? And if he loves you, he says, won't you listen to me? Won't you listen? It's the same message multiple times because he's good. He's just taking our face in his hands. And he's saying, won't you listen? Won't you listen? And your biggest problem is not your sin. Your biggest problem is not you figured things out. Your biggest problem is if you stop listening. Because he can deal with the sin. He can deal with your past. He can deal with your hurts. If you listen and you trust him, man, don't his words do good? Let me pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this table that we gather around this morning that reminds us of how much you love us. Because Lord, sometimes your word seems a little threatening. Lord, even when we know that it is what it is. And we clearly identify a place where you're speaking to us, where we've closed off our minds. Lord, it seems hard to hear. And Lord, the honest part is for some of us, some of those places have gotten so clogged up that we almost can't hear anymore. And Lord, we cannot save ourselves. So we pray for an intervention by your Holy Spirit, where Lord, you would open up hearts and minds and ears. Lord, we trust you. We trust your love. Your word would do good to those who would hear it. So Father, move. Not just for our sake, but for the sake of your witness in the world. Lord, we want to be a part of what you're doing, bringing life and blessing. We want to be what these Israelites that Micah was speaking, they refused to be partners with you in bringing life and blessing. And they thought, Lord, they messed it up. They thought it was all about them. Lord, we want it to be all about you. So Lord, we remember when we come to this table that night when Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we remember when the supper was over, how he lifted up the cup and he gave thanks to you and he gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, Lord, we come to this table remembering you, remembering your great love, remembering that you showed us what it looks like to be truly human, to be fully alive. And that means to trust you, means to hear you. So, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on these simple gifts of bread and juice that they would be for us today, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we would come to this table and be so overwhelmed with your grace and with your love, that the power of your Holy Spirit would open up hearts and minds in places where we stopped hearing long ago, that ears would get unplugged by your power this morning, and that the word would be received as a word that brings life, not death. Lord, you can do all that. And more than we could ever ask or imagine. So Lord, as we come, make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until that day when Christ is going to come again and make everything right. We pray in the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.